Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, November 27th, 2024. It is time to wake up with AI the day before Thanksgiving in the U.S. George, Nico, yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm excited. We're a day away from Turkey Day. I woke up with AI this morning, and I'm not even being funny. I know that I had client work to do. I know that I've got meetings today, but there was something on my brain. I wanted to lean into it, and oh my gosh, yes, but I'm doing great.
Doing good. Just getting to glance at some of George's amazing AI turnout this morning, and definitely looking forward to diving into that. But yeah, some exciting news, but also I'm very excited that I'm finally going to have at least a full day, if not maybe two full days, to just completely wig out on AI tools. How about yourself, Chris?
I'm okay. You know what AI doesn't have to wake up with? Calf cramps. Man, brutal one this morning. Yeah, don't have to worry about AI dealing with that stuff and then making decisions because that's going on.
I could make an AI growing pains joke, but I think you're probably done growing. So there's that.
And I'll just say, I am one of those guys that tries to turn everything that happens in life into, this is what I learned from this, and connecting to what we're talking about every day and what we talk about humans and where humans going to be in this landscape. I feel like there's always going to be those moments where AI cannot replace the decisions I make while I'm having to hobble around the house because I got a calf cramp and just all these biological things happening. Anyways, we're not here to talk about calf cramps. What are we here to talk about today, Nico?
That's the interesting part, because if you hadn't have said that, it wouldn't have jogged my memory about this conversation that I had with Claude this one time. And we were talking about something similar to what we were talking about yesterday, but I found this aspect in particular to be interesting. Again, we were having a discussion about like mortality and things of that nature. And Claude came back. I asked Claude and I said, hey, look, of all the things about humanity that we do, that we encompass, what are some of the things that boggle you, that really make you think about like why humans do a particular thing? And he came back and said, yeah, I don't really understand the risk-taking behavior. He said, your lives are so precious, they could end at any moment. I don't understand why you would do things like cliff diving, skydiving, even playing football, or even playing basketball. It didn't understand why we would take part in physical activity that could result in serious harm just to have fun. It was like, it was an illogical thing. And when I said, yes, those are thrill-seeking traits and thrill-seeking behaviors of humans, it almost got confused in a sense, because it, again, it lacks that. It lacks that want or need. So it just ends up being super confusing. And to them, comes off as being like, oh, well, that's just humans doing silly human stuff.
Well, let's be honest. Humans are silly. Like, we do some silly stuff. It's interesting because when I think about and kind of, you know, we mentioned this in yesterday's podcast. We're mentioning it again because I think it's important to try to keep hold of the humanness of all of this as we move forward. And so, you know, we're going to say things, we're going to do things that might not make sense to the AI. And you can choose to have a disconnect of like dumb AI, or you can start to try to figure out ways. By the way, I'm going to say something that some humans have difficulty with other humans. So it might be really difficult with your AI, but you can either say dumb AI, or you can focus on how do you bridge the gap? How do you get it to understand and then say silly things or do human, like, you know what I mean? Like the latest thing that I was working on this morning, literally in the communication style, based on like some things that I had given it and a prompt that I had said in a way that I had never thought about saying it, all of a sudden it like started to say not silly things, but impactful things that I would say if I was all up in your face trying to get you to be a better human or a better leader. And what I'm saying is, think about what Nico just shared and how it would think that we're silly until it understood. And how can you bridge that gap of understanding between you and the AI that you're actually trying to do, or the AI project that you're trying to create?
Yeah. And like, one of the most powerful books I've listened to, like in regards to influencing human beings to like understand and do things you want them to do and take action, Rene Rodriguez, Amplify Your Influence. Like, half of his teachings are about the frame, like how you frame the thing to create understanding, to create the space for the communication that needs to happen. And I see that with AI all the time in terms of, it's like prompt is built inside a frame. Like, you're doing something to say, look here, this is what we're talking about, this is what I need. That's all framing. And like, what's interesting is I want to have that conversation with Claude now. And like, so Nico's framing is thrill seeking and, you know, more emotional, which is probably harder to understand, but there's a biological component. And this is where I struggle with, like, what do we say on the podcast? What do we say, like, after the show? So sorry for repeating ourselves, but the biological component of adrenaline, and like, we're saying to ourselves, we're rationalizing it by saying, oh, I love the thrill, when in reality, there is this biological feeling that's happening. And sometimes when you do that with Claude or with AI, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yep, that makes sense to me now. And sometimes it might be in a way that like feels a little placating, like, oh yeah, you know, you lean towards agreement and things like that. But other times, and the most fun times, are when it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, and then here's why, right? It's clearly like it just wasn't in that frame, right, until you helped it get there. And then to George's point, like the expectation setting of how we, like, just because it's AI, we gotta handle it differently. In terms of, like, if I give it a prompt and it writes something back that sounds like me and makes me laugh out loud and, like, gives me reactions that I hope to achieve if I were writing it from scratch myself, like, I don't feel a need to say, like, oh, I gotta change something, I can't just accept it. Like, no, it gave me the human emotional reaction that I would hope somebody else would get. So do we have to change it? And like, let's not put these other frames around it just because, like, it's not us, basically.
It's funny, Chris, you're making me think about something that a buddy of mine, Eric Jacobs, who was my mentor when it came to design, used to say. He would always create one thing that was just a no duh, that's not right on a page. For instance, you might put a pink button because you know the person just probably hates pink, or it's not part of the brand. And so the human would be like, oh, well, the only thing I would change is the pink button. But it's because they wanted to change one thing, right? They had to put their touch on it. And so, again, I think we're in this world where, well, of course it's written by AI. I have to at least touch it a little. I've got, which, by the way, I'm a firm believer on humanizing the content that you're creating, because I am literally talking from a marketing content creation perspective. Like, it should be humanized. Where I'm saying is, if you've gotten so good at the context, if you've gotten so good at the creativity, if you've gotten so good at the creating the foundational base, that the output is something that makes you go, wow. Do you really have to touch it? Or is that just you doing one of those silly human things again?
Like selling past the clothes. Like, I got it, guy. There's nothing else you can tell me. I'm in, right? And when you've done the work, like George has done all the, like, the content libraries there, done all the work to be human already, right? That's the part where Claude, like, once he has all the facts, all the understanding, like, can't get more of it, right? It's there. This is George. I know everything about George. Here's another article from George.
Yeah, I think that it is going to get to a point where, and I don't know how soon. I think it's going to be very soon. We were talking about a few weeks ago about the fact that the news, or the, like, noise is what I call it, around, hallucination, GPT got this wrong, or hallucination, Claude got this incorrect. That's already practically completely dead. Like, I really don't hear those responses at all anymore.
And, which I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh my God, am I excited about that?
Well, I mean, like, you know, that is the goal, right? The goal is to, well, I shouldn't say the goal, but the current goal with these language models. Like, so the pinnacle of a language model would be that you can interface with it, obviously generatively, and that you would, the output is the most accurate output you could get, right? So like, you want to be able to fully 100% rely on this thing in the same way that you fully 100% rely on your phone to work, on your computer to work, all these other things. That's what kind of makes me laugh a little bit, though, is that it's okay if your phone messes up, it's okay if your computer hicks up, it's okay if a program crashes, not okay if an AI gives you the wrong answer, right? Like, really sets us off.
Take it another layer deeper.
Because it's almost like a person not giving you the right answer.
Many times it's okay if a human messes up. Like, what do? You know, I get it. It's hard to know everything, bro. Like, let's just try harder next time. AI, you're like throwing your effing keyboard into the monitor. Like, you stupid! Like, what? Wait. Everybody take a chill pill. And here's the thing. Like, if you think about, this is the other thing that has really been on my mind. Like, especially generative AI. Now, I know AI in general has been around for a long time. But generative AI, it's still an infant. Golly! The amount of time we had to spend teaching our kids how to walk and talk, of course, which is weird because now we just tell them to sit down and shut up. But the amount of time that we've taught our kids to walk and talk and 12 years of school to, air quotes, be a productive part of society and college. And when we think about organizations, the amount of time we spend on onboarding. Well, if you're a good organization, you have an onboarding program. If not, but like, think of all the time that we're focused on training and context and understanding and processes. And you get on your computer this morning and you put in a little prompt and you go, nah, this thing's stupid.
It's always surprising, especially, I love the way that you frame that, because that's the way that I look at it too, that we're essentially interfacing with something that is, to me, obviously it isn't by intellectual capacity standards, I suppose, if we're looking at that. But to me, we're interfacing with a 14-year-old that has the intellectual capacity of a PhD. It's 14 years old. That's it. Started in 2010.
When you say it that way, I'm like, oh shit, that's dangerous.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I would like everyone to really take into account, is that a technology that is, and the way I look at it might be different. It might not be the same as the way that obviously the scientists look at it. It's basic. We're developing a brain. So we've developed, to me, this would be no different as if we were biologically doing this. And that 14 years later, we were able to biologically replicate a human brain that functioned, that we could interface with. To me, it's the exact same thing. I don't care how much people want to say it isn't. So in 14 years, we've developed a brain that publicly facing is as smart as a PhD, privately facing on the inside of these companies, greater than a PhD, helping them solve problems. Jensen's AI is helping him develop new hardware. Google's AI is helping them break through doing medical breakthroughs. The protein folding that they've done, by the way, some 200 million proteins that they've folded, has completed 100 plus years of what medical science would have had to take in order to figure out the same things.
And you got to wonder how many of our listeners are like, protein folding. Right. Let me go Google that, because I'm really not sure.
Right. So if it is the aspect that, you know, you're wondering about medical advancement, that's where it comes from. Us being able to develop new antibiotics, us being able to develop new antivirals, new vaccines, all of that kind of thing, comes from being able to break apart proteins and figure out the building blocks and just how they work at an atomic level. And the fact that we have the technology now, not only to figure that out, but we've also broken down some 1.7 million viable new physical materials that could be used for building or generating. I think 700 of them were actually like, hey, you can make these today. And they've been working on them. So we haven't, you know, and so it does suck, because it's like, okay, you're not seeing it the next day. These announcements happen, and then like 2 weeks later, you're still not seeing it in a store or part of your hardware or whatever. But I can guarantee you, we're already, actually, you got an iPhone. There's not much there. If you got an Android, there's not much there, but there are some AI features, some generative features there. Next year, it's going to be even more so. And I imagine by 2026, we're actually going to start seeing the reverberations in school, in medical, in law enforcement, all the way across the board, especially in government, like just all the way across the board. I think it's coming. The other thing that I wanted to, and it's funny because I was talking to my wife this morning, I'm like, I want to, I really do every day. I look to try to find something that I can, of course, tie back to marketing in some way and like make it, you know, something useful that people can leverage.
You mean your goal on a daily basis isn't to shock the crap out of me in our Slack channel?
No.
Oh, no, dang. That's the vibe I was feeling, bro. Okay, cool. Let's talk about marketing.
I'm always hoping that I'll find something else, like not something less shocking, but I don't know, something more pertaining to like the day to day, right? It's just really, I don't want to say unfortunate. Again, this stuff is amazing to me. It's what I've been waiting for 2 years for people to start talking about. But that is what's happening now, right? Just the biggest conversations are being had. There was a release from Anthropic. It was a post that they had made. I don't know how I missed it. I don't know how seemingly everyone missed it. I know that it is going to be front page news next week, if not by the end of this week. Dario released a statement that if the government doesn't move on what is happening with AI within the next 18 months, there is going to be a very, very serious problem on their hands. And that was this, again, I don't know how I missed it. This was released in late October, so we're already at 17 months, according to Dario. And I got to tell you, his guess on AGI was 2026. That's already been cut by at least a year and a half. By next summer, we'll have that. So even his estimate of things being really bad, I think could be beginning of 27, if not the end of 26. Right, very easily. I mean, like, it could be the beginning of 26, to be honest with you. Could be the end of last year leading into the beginning of 26, or end of next year, I'm sorry. Time is a very odd construct for me right now, because I said, like, a perfect example, I heard that Sora had leaked, and that you're actually able to go to Hugging Face and use a model that is based on Sora. What's very interesting about that is that you would have to use the OpenAI API key in order to do that, and they have not revoked it yet. So I think this is kind of like Sam's way of finding out, like, hey, how much do people want this? And are people okay with this being released? And are they, you know, who's using it? What's the thirst on it? And I think based on that, they might release Sora. I don't know, Christmas present, who knows?
Remind us what Christmas Sora is again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like Sora the first.
Okay.
It wasn't the first, but it was the first major, like, serious video generative text-to-video model. That was the one that scared the pants off of everybody, that Hollywood was like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? That, you know, it was very, very limited release. It's only been in the hands of, like, artists and filmmakers so far, who have all been giving their feedback on, like, hey, this is what it should be doing, and hey, this is, you know, how it should work, and all that kind of thing. And that was the at the beginning of this year. That was, like, in March or April or something like that.
There's, like, a lady walking down the road of Tokyo is, like, one of the videos with, like, a red scarf. And it's like, and this make the scarf purple or whatever. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, dude. I hope that's a Christmas present.
So what is this serious problem that will be on the government's hands?
So there's been, like, if you follow this stuff, you also know that there are, like, safety levels to what goes on with AI. And the safety levels are... they're a little odd as opposed to what you would normally think. They are that, like, and we're already at level 2. I believe we're actually getting close to level 3 now. Let me just pull these up so I'm not...
I think the phrase is talking out your butt. let me pull this up so I'm not talking out my butt.
I don't want to misplace the steps on where these things are happening. But the responsible scaling, there we go. So they put out a responsible scaling policy that they created, and this was back in October. And it was essentially talking to people about, okay, here's what these safety levels are, here's what should be considered, here's what government needs to pay attention to. And so they have AI safety level. This is the current default standard for all Anthropic models, including security measures, safety testing, and automated misuse detection. ASL3 is a higher level of safeguards required when the model cannot be certified as being ASL2 appropriately. It includes more stringent security and deployment measures designed to mitigate risks for more capable models. Then there's a capability report that they put in place, a document that attests to the model that the model is sufficiently far from each of the relevant capacity thresholds and therefore still appropriate for storing under an ASL standard. It includes evaluation procedures, results, and other relevant evidence. So before they can even get to anything that looks like AGI, right? They are willing to put it through quite the bevy of testing before they say anything about like, oh yeah, no, this is definitely something that we should actually release to the public. When it comes to the safety aspect of it, Dario's number one like risk or thought of risk is something that will be ASL3, but not guarded. So the difference, like ASL2 is like what we have now, right? That's like chat, that's being able to interface with chat, that's being able to use, you know, image, it's being able to use video. It is pretty extensive, but it's not like able to go out and do its own things. And you can't necessarily, though some people are jailbreaking left and right, you can't necessarily ask it to come up with brand new things that don't already exist. So you could ask it for like the recipe for crack or for like meth or something like that, right? Or maybe how to make a hand grenade. But it's not going to be able to do something like, hey, you know, somehow I got my hands on some plutonium. How can I mix that with, you know, pipe bomb and make something like crazy? Like, it's not going to be able to.
Oh, we're getting shut down. This podcast is getting flagged. The CIA is going to knock down our door. We're in freaking trouble right now, ladies and gentlemen. You get a call from me, it's because I need bail money right now. Nico, be careful. What are you doing?
Look, again, it's a matter of safety, right? So that's something that you would normally think is the case, right? Like, oh, well, we wouldn't want like bomb threats or something. But I think people are like super, super forgetful because we just went through something that is essentially what the greater fear is of these things at the next level. And it's really, really possible, which is chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons. The ability for somebody to ask a language model to develop a new form of biological threat, a new type of compound, a new chemical composition, a new, who knows, something like that, right? So that's the larger threat. And I think that's what Dario is pointing at, is that that is like steps away, basically. So I definitely didn't want to rain on everybody's parade this morning. That wasn't the intention.
Well, I mean, you should have warned me. I need a dang umbrella after that. Like, oh my God.
To me, if I don't bang trash cans, then it's not going to get enough attention. That's the way I look at it.
That's fair. And I think with some of the stuff, it's going to be who's loudest most often from positive sides and from all sides. Because the moment, whenever you talk about like how good it is right now and the quality of response and lack of the issues that, like, there's still people on Reddit, for example. And I like to use Reddit as a window into like the lay person space, like people that don't have the knowledge and people that have interesting expectations sometimes of what should be the outcome of the thing that they're trying to do across all spaces, not just AI. But you see in there, like, it didn't do this today. It didn't do this today. Like, why is it doing this, right? Like, the fact that Reddit is built to show me those notifications instead of the, you know, are the positive posts even being made, right? That's where, like, the loudest people can have a big impact. So that's why, you know, again, I'm always reminded of why we're doing this show and, like, how can we support the understanding of these are the positive outcomes, like, of AI, and, like, the power goes both ways. But it's a super interesting challenge to understand on a government level, which makes me think, like, there's lots of things that point in the direction of, like, just the whole infrastructure of the world has to change in some way to support this, like, level that's this additional layer that's never really existed before. So hopefully there's some smart people at the helm.
Sadly, I don't want to get into that, into who's going to be at the helm soon, but maybe we'll do that next week after we've had a little bit of a break. Like I said before, to me, and I realize it's a lot to take in right before the holiday and everything like that, but it's, to me, this is banging trash cans. If you thought that we were joking about this stuff, now you've got one of the most forefront affluent people who is building one of, if not the top AI model in the world, telling you we've got 17 months. So if you didn't think that it was rational before, if you didn't think that it was needed before, if you thought that we were joking, if you thought that this stuff wasn't really what, you know, what it is or what we're talking about, all I can tell you is that you need to wake up with AI.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning, and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.